Welcome back to Yahoo Finance. Well, the U.S. comes into the Ukraine conflict with momentum, a fat balance sheet, and near zero interest rates. And today, sky-high markets with the Dow crossing 837 points up now at that session level. That is the best performance of the year to date. So a lot of things going in the U.S.'s favor, but how do we weather what's to come next? So to help us discuss, let's bring in our next guest, Kathy Bosjancic, Oxford Economics Chief, U.S. Economist. Kathy, thanks so much for joining us today. So the U.S. is waging its own war at the moment, right, against inflation. We've got more than a 7 CPI handle. We've got new data that came out today. Personal income was flat in January. Spending was up 2.1% month over month. PCE came in up 6.1% year over year. The core is 5.2% year over year. Throw in the Russia wrench, and how does the Fed react to all of this? Fed's Waller and Bullard wants to hike rates by 50 basis points still come that March 16th meeting. But what do you think happens?
Well, I think the Fed it certainly has a big inflation problem on their hands. And as you alluded to, the Russia-Ukraine war conflict only exacerbates the inflation potential. So we think they need to act. We had previously expected them to kick it off with a 50 basis point tightening in March. We've now pared that to 25 basis points. But as you said, there are a number of Fed officials, Wallard and St. Louis Fed President Bullard, who are still in favor of 50. So it's not completely off the table. But we think in light of the uncertainty surrounding the invasion, that they might want to tread more conservatively and go 25 basis points. But more importantly, you know, besides that debate, 25 or 50 next month, it's really how much tightening for the full year. And there we still think 175 basis points. So they need to move, you know, consistently and rather rapidly.
And, you know, so the ECB says weaning off stimulus in Europe may take longer than expected. So do you think the Fed has to stay the course? How much wiggle room do they really have as far as rate hikes this year? You know, some are pricing in 6-7 hikes. Do they go that far? And then what happens as far as the balance sheet reduction?
Yeah. So, you know, so far, demand has remained strong. As you outlined this morning, we found out consumer spending was up 2.1%, even adjusted for the high inflation in real terms, increased 1.5% for January. That actually has led us to revise up our first quarter GDP estimate. It was flat previously. Now we're about 1.5% for real GDP. It's still soft. Omicron and the soft handoff from consumer spending in December to the start of first quarter was weak. But nevertheless, you're seeing the consumer has real strong resilience here. And we think as the weather gets better, the health conditions are better, you see that rotation, a lot of pent up demand for in-person spending and on services. So that's going to power the economy. And, you know, I think the Fed needs to adjust demand. That's all they can do, right? They can't fix the supply problems, but they can temper demand a little bit to take a little bit of the edge off of inflation. And hopefully things do ease as supply chains get eradicated throughout the year.
Kathy, what's your fear that the Fed possibly makes a mistake? Because so far we've been dealing with boomflation, right? So there's strong growth and then there's high inflation. But now the Fed will be hiking into high inflation, higher energy costs, and possibly slowing growth as well, most likely.
That's right. So, you know, 2022, we think, is pretty strong momentum that we're going to see over 3% real GDP growth. So that's still very healthy. Where we start to get a bit more concerned is when we look out to 2023. So the Fed's got to work hard to try to rein in inflation. You have fiscal policy that has now become a drag. That, we think, is going to weigh on 2023 growth. And there we see, you know, it's slowing to about 2%, but there is downside risk. And, you know, the Fed and all central banks have not had a great track record of getting that, you know, all wanted soft landing. So the risk must be, you know, lying on the downside. And we have to look for financial conditions. If they really become disorderly or over tighten relative to what the Fed would desire, then you're looking at even a weaker profile for 2023.
I have a question for you on energy, but before that, I just want to know these tensions in Russia and Ukraine, what do they signal about growth globally? Because Germany already signaling contraction, right, for a couple of quarters there. So with a slowing economy there, how does that impact us here?
Yeah, so Europe and, well, I guess Russia first bears the brunt of the sanctions and negative impact on growth in our modeling, and then Europe. Next, of course. And for the U.S., you do get some negative feedback through the trade channel with Europe. But it's overall pretty modest. You know, we're still largely kind of closed economy, 15% or so is open to trade, affected by trade. So we're largely insulated there. It's really more the energy component. If gasoline prices keep rising, that's obviously going to hurt consumer sentiment even more. We saw a pretty weak number again this morning on that reading. And that's going to impact discretionary spending. So far, consumers have been very resilient. But at some point, that could weigh on consumer spending.
And so where do you see energy prices going? We just saw them hit 100, cross that for Brent on news of the attack.
Yeah, so, our commodity team now thinks that, we can hover around that $100 per barrel on the Brent reading. Now, obviously, it's going to be very sensitive to news. Today, we saw a pullback what we hear over the weekend on Monday can set the tone for prices for price action next week. But we think roughly you're seeing pressure, upward pressure on oil prices. And at least, $100, even a little bit slightly above that, $105 is quite possible looking out.
We'll have to see where it goes. Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time today. Kathy Bosjancic, Oxford Economics Chief U.S. Economist. Have a great weekend.